I'm Franz Niederholzer with UC Cooperative Extension, and I'm presenting the results of some field work by Luke Milliron and myself in Northern California. I'd like to acknowledge the invaluable support from the grower, Matt Bozzo, and financial support by the California Dried Plum Board. Self-fertile improved French is the prune cultivar in California, Prunus domestica, European plum. There's about 18,000 hectares grown in Northern California where I work. About half of the product goes overseas and half it's marketed domestically, consumed domestically. There is a strong gradient or variation in return to grower based on fruit size. Fruit size is measured and presented on count per mass, numbers of fruit per mass. So the smaller the number, the bigger the fruit. And you can see prunes are a processed crop with virtually all the dried fruit dried in forest air ovens, dehydrators immediately after harvest. Larger dried fruits has more processing options. It can go to pitted stock, which is a value-added product, whereas the small fruit goes primarily to juice and or concentrate. So you end up with a kind of crop value that you see presented here. Prunes also overset, generally speaking, or underset. The sweet spot for prune set that you don't have to manage or lament is very narrow, right around 15 to 20%. It is a processed fruit. So generally speaking, overcropping is quite common based on those high values of percent fruit set. And trees end up with upwards of 10,000 small fruit per tree. So hand thinning is, if you're looking at dropping that number by at least half, hand thinning is really economically infeasible for a product such as that. What we end up doing, a commercial accepted practice right now, is mechanical thinning, which occurs a month to 6 weeks after full bloom. You have to wait till the fruit has reached enough mass to be removed by physically shaking the tree with a harvester, with half the harvester. And that occurs when you see at the bottom right there, you see when you've got 90% endosperm apparent in the fruit is the reference date and you begin thinning. However, many growers do not thin but deliver crops dominated by small to medium-sized fruit, or they drop the small fruit in the field using infield sizers. Since older orchards can be damaged by this kind of second shake of the year in addition to harvest, plus this practice removes the largest fruit. This practice does work, but it removes the largest fruit, and you also have to wait 4 to 6 weeks after bloom, and you lose any sizing potential in that period. While it works, it would seem that some earlier thinning practices would be beneficial. So we established a spray thinning trial in 2015 with the hypothesis that a caustic fertilizer, in our case, potassium thiosulfate, KTS, will reduce fruit number, produce more large fruit, and improve grower returns. ATS, ammonium thiosulfate, is labeled in apples, and in Europe it's also labeled on plums, but none of these materials, ATS or KTS, are labeled in the States, or at least labeled in California for stone fruit. And my understanding is that the active ingredient is thiosulfate, so we use a lot of KTS as a fertilizer in California, and it's inexpensive, not labeled as a thinner, so that was the materials we chose to use. This is the plot in Sutter County, California, about an hour north of Sacramento. Mature trees, high production. We established a complete block design in 2015, randomized complete block design, using trunk measurements for the blocking factor, with 3 reps per treatment in 15 and subsequently 5 reps. We applied the material using a motorized backpack sprayer. These are almonds, of course, but I put the slide up to give you an idea of the equipment used to make the application. No attempt was made. The same amount of material was applied to each tree. There was some difference in tree size. No attempt was made to change the volume of material or amount of material applied between trees, just because it would add another piece of variability that we chose not to undertake. Treatments 1% or 2% KTS volume by volume were applied at 25% and then at 80% full bloom. The spray volume, no adjuvants included, just material. Spray volume was equivalent to 1,800 liters per hectare, 200 gallons per acre. Entire trees were separately at harvest. Mature was applied. That was the last thing we actively did there. Entire trees were separately harvested at commercial maturity. The fresh weight per tree was determined. A small subsample was taken and dried at a commercial dehydrator. We determined the dried fruit weight per tree by the ratio of fresh to dry weight in the subsample. Fruit size distribution was determined from the fruit in the small sample and then scaled up to the per tree and then scaled up. All the data you're going to see is scaled up per acre per hectare basis in this case. All right. There were some differences between in field conditions between 15 and 17. 2016 was a complete crop failure, so the data is not being reported here. But there is some variability between the treatments across the years that you will see later, and I thought I would bring this up. In 15, there was a heavy crop, so the bloom was lighter. The orchard was pruned. There was no thinning whatsoever, and the orchard was flood irrigated. And there were 4 days above 37 degrees C, 99 degrees Fahrenheit. Whereas in 2017, following that crop failure of 16, it was a light crop. The block was not thin, so there's more flowers present. The entire orchard was thinned by the grower in a mistaken communication with his operator. It was only about 10% of the crop was removed, so our value is still, the experiment went forward, but there was that confounding factor. The orchard's better irrigated through microsprinklers, and it was a very warm summer with 12 days above 37, which affects sugars and therefore dry fruit size later in the season. So as far as good news results go, if you will, from our standpoint, we did reduce fruit number per tree by approximately 50% following KTS of the treatments. In 15, the difference was significant at the 10% level, not at the 5% level. And while there's a trend there in 17, there was no significant difference at 5 or 10%. We did not significantly reduce total yield between at 5% between the treatments and the control in either 15 or 17, although you can see the increase in crop. And we did not statistically measure or check the increase in crop, but there's an apparent increase in production from 15 to 17. However, we did increase, while there was no difference in dry weight yield produced per tree or per acre, we did increase the production of large fruit in 15 at the 5% level for both thinning treatments as well as for the 2% in 17. However, as you can see looking across, the increase in production from total production, say in the control, this increase here is apparent in the large fruit, whereas with the treated treatments, this apparent increase does not appear in the large fruit. So there was more small fruit produced in the thin treatments in the second year. And the downside for our perspective, we did not increase grower return over control. In 15, I'm showing all the data here to give you some sense of the variability. By thinning, we increased the variability within the thin treatments, and that affected our results, P's of 0.16 in 15, and in 17, the variability was even greater, and therefore our significance, our potential for significance even less. So, our hypothesis being we could reduce fruit number, produce more fruit, large fruit, and improve grower returns. We did decrease fruit number in some cases, not strongly, but was reduced. We did produce more large fruit, but we did not significantly improve grower return. So at the moment, mechanical thinning remains the most economically viable crop load management program in prunes. We will continue to work at return bloom with or without thinning and look at the impact try to match spray volume to canopy to reduce variability. We'll look at early single early bloom treatments, single full bloom treatments, as well as combinations. We'll look at different... We'll look at lime sulfur and oil, some of the things that are done in apples. We'll also look at ethylene at full bloom and 2 weeks after full bloom. And thank you very much. A couple of minutes for questions if there are any.
So with mechanical thinning, is there an effect on the tree age, like the tree decline?
The question was, with mechanical thinning, is there an apparent decline in the tree health? We haven't noticed it, but there is quite a, when you have a tree with internal rot, which there are quite a few in our orchards, when you add an additional shaking event to the tree, you can cause quite a bit of damage. So
that would affect the overall productivity and eventually the revenue.
Yes.
Over years.
Yes. At the moment, though, the point was made that the impacting the health of the trees the thinning shake could impact long-term productivity in the orchard, but the lack of any crop load management, even with pruning, dramatically reduces the current economic value of the crop, and growers are shaker thinning as that's their best option at the moment. Thank you for your question. Any additional questions? Well, I appreciate your attention, and we have one more speaker.